In today's Mishnah, we're in the 7th and 8th Mishnah from the 5th Perek of Masechta Gittin, and the Mishnah begins a Cheresh. So regarding a deaf mute, when it comes to various acquisitions, and we'll qualify that in a moment, it can romez venirmaz. Simply, it would be satisfactory, even though he cannot speak, to use signing, so signing with his hands or with his head, in order to communicate his intention, and that would be sufficient in order to effect an acquisition. However, Ben Batera says, kofetz v'nikbatz, he actually says, we don't even need to be that clear. You can even be what's referred to as being akimat v'taim sibil, if you like, by mouthing. And despite the fact that it's a less clear form of communication, that would be satisfactory, Ben Batera says, with respect to metaltalin. Metaltalin refers to movable objects. However, when it comes to karka, land, then Ben Batera would agree with a chachamim that needs to use a more clear form of communication, which is romez venirbas, for example, using sign language. So we've explained the mission according to the first reading of first explanation. Kati brings the other explanations, but leave that for your further study. Let's continue. Ha-pa-otot. These are referring to young children, about 7 or 8. However, they have somewhat of an understanding of masao matan, of, say, business. In other words, we're talking about kids that are pretty switched on at that age. Or even if they're not switched on, then referring to kids about 9 or 10 years old. Mishnah says, mikhan o mekach o memkaran memkar b'metaltlin. When it comes to movable objects, we say what they buy and sell, then the mechira is considered kayam, it's considered a good acquisition. And here, Kati cites the Gemara that says it was a takana chamim mishum kedei chayav, in order that they be able to be supported, they can buy and sell things. Let's continue with Mishnah. It says, Elu Dvarim, the following we're going to learn now, the Chachamim Institute Amruk Mini Darkei Shalom. The Chachamim instituted these practices, or takanot, in order to prevent machloket. The first is Kohen Kore Rishon, Vacharav Levi Vacharid Israel. When it comes to Aliyot in the Torah, the Kohen comes first, followed by the Levi, and followed by Israel. The truth is, that's actually din d'oraita, that ordering, because there's Vikidashto, ki et lechem elohecha umakriv. They have to always honor the Kohen first. However, the Takana Chachamim is that because Midin Torah, if the Kohen wanted to give over kavod, if you like, to say his Rav or someone who's a Talmud Chacham, he would be able to do so. However, the Chachamim said no. In order to avoid Machloket, they said that a Kohen always goes first, a Levi goes second, and Israel goes third, and that's Mibnei Darkei Shalom. Let's continue. Next is Ma'arvin Babait Yashan. So he referring to, say, an Eruv Chatzeirot. In other words, we've got a number of houses that share a courtyard. In order to carry in that courtyard, they have to all contribute food and place in one of the houses to form an Eruv, as if they're all coming together. And despite it being a shared area, they'll be able to carry within that region. And then we learned that back in Masechet Eruv, and this was a Takan Chamim, because that area is a shared area, Rosh Hasharabim is a shared area. Without an Eruv, without this recognizable way of them all coming together, people might confuse the two areas and end up carrying. They'll say, because I can carry in this shared area, I should be able to carry in Rosh Hasharabim as well and not realize there's a difference. Consequently, they require this Eruv, this coming together, in order to do so. However, the Mibnei Darkei Shalom aspect here is that, let's say, all placed in one particular house, they would continue to do so. So there's a number of explanations why we should continue doing in that particular house. One explanation is Mishum Chashad, because out of suspicion. And that is that people might enter that house that it's always been in, not see it, and think they don't have an Erev anymore. Or another understanding, there are a few explanations here, but another one is that Kati brings this as the last of his few explanations. This is according to Rambam. He says, well, there's actually a benefit to having it in your house. And that is, you don't actually have to contribute to the Eruv because it's placed in your house. It's only all the other houses that need to contribute to this Eruv. So, therefore, again, it could be room for katata arguments. Therefore, we say, no, it always goes in the same house. Let's continue. Bor shuhu karov la'ama. Here, referring to a water hole that is closest to the stream. Mishnah says, mit male rishon. That bor, that pit that's closest, goes first. And then those that are further as we go on, they would go in order, in succession. And that's again Mipnei Darkei Shalom, so there aren't arguments and fights regarding these water holes, who gets first, who can draw water first. As you can imagine, the potential arguments regarding I should get water first, no, you should, etc., etc. Now, just to make it a bit more clear, the purpose of these water holes is you can have a stream, but each of the fields would try and divert some of the water and fill up these water holes as like a store, just in case the stream eventually dries up. So that's why it was necessary to have them by each field, and again, to avoid machloket, they had a system of precedence of who can fill up their water holes first. Let's continue. Metzudot chayav ofer v'dagim. Let's say someone laid traps for, say, wild animals or birds or fish, and they leave them. So Mishnah says, if someone comes along and finds an animal caught in one of these traps, really, Minatora doesn't seem to be that it's considered acquired. So one would think that there'd be no problem collecting. However, Mishnah says, Yesh Bahem Mishum Gezel, it's forbidden to take from that trap if it's not yours, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Again, to maintain peace, because you can imagine that the arguments and the debates and fights would come if there was a nice animal that was caught, that someone laid the trap and it was caught in it and somebody else took it. However, Rabbi Yossi says, actually, this is Gezel Gamor, this is a definite theft. Meaning, midarabanan is theft, and could even take someone to bait. And in other words, if someone didn't care about this takana and took the animal for themselves, if the animal was caught, the person who laid the trap could take him to bait him to retrieve it. Let's continue. Mitziat cheresh shota v'katan. If a cheresh deaf mute, a shota, someone who's gone mad, or a katan, a minor, if they find something on the street, and the nature of this lost object that is found is one that they can actually keep it, then we say that despite the fact that Minat Torah it's not considered necessarily theirs because it's not Bardas, Mishnah says, Yesh Behem Mishul Gezel. The Chachem say it's theirs, Mipnei once again, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Rabbi Yossi once again says, actually, this is Gezel Gamur. As we've explained, Gezel Gamur means that if someone else tries to take it from them, we could take that person to Beit Din and extract it from them and give it back to this Cheresh Shota Vakata. Let's continue. Ani Menakef Barosh Hazait. So an Ani, poor person who's coming to get zaitim from a olive tree that was left as peah. We discussed this all the way back near the beginning of our learning together. And that's peah is the mitzvah to leave a corner of the field, or even, say, a part of an olive tree, for a single tree, for the poor. So an ani has gone up to the top of this tree and is banging these olives for them to fall. It says, Masha tachtav, that which falls on the floor, if someone tries to take it, would be considered gezel, meaning it's also to touch it. Despite the fact he hasn't actually picked it and held it in his hand and acquired it. He just banged the tree and they've fallen to the floor. Chachamim says, no, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, so there wouldn't be fights with this ani that he's banging it out and seeing other people taking what he thinks is his. Well, at least he's exerted the effort to try and make them fall. It's Mipnei Darkei Shalom, we will make it his. Once again, Rabbi Yossi says it's gezel gamor. Again, the difference is it's still midrabanan. However, it's not just it's also to do midrabanan, but if this ani banged the tree and someone else came and took them, that ani could take that other person to beit and say, give it back. And finally, ein memachim biyad aniyei goyim mibaleket shicham peah. So leket shicham peah par lematam aniyim. We've already talked about peah just now. Leket, if you remember, the single sheaves that fall during harvest that are left for the poor, and shichcha are then individual bundles that were forgotten behind on the field. These all matan aniyim that have to be left for the poor. And what the Mishnah is saying is, we don't stop aniye goyim. In Minat Torah, these are left for Jews. However, we say we don't stop non-Jews coming and collecting this leket peah shicha. Once again, mipnei darkei shalom. Kati cites a brayta regarding other such mitzvot, if you like, or chasadim that we perform to goyim as well, despite the fact there's no necessary mitzvah in Minat Torah to do so. So mevakrei cholim, we kovri metim and things like that. We support them. Once again, mipnei darkei shalom. This is the Mishnah today.